103.7 to beat your boy Big Rob, the fat guy at the station. How y'all doing? That was Black Street with Don't Leave. The day after the election, I had to call some of the young people in here, you know, because I'm an old fart and old as dirt and the well seasoned, whatever you want to call me. Our first guest today is William, new city commissioner. I can't call him just Kitch no more. I got to call him the new city commissioner from Muskegon Heights, William Kitchen. How you doing, sir?
Man, that's amazing. I'm doing good.
How does it feel to have that in front of your name now? Man. Commissioner, city commissioner.
I woke up having a seat on that city council, and it feels surreal. I'm very rarely speechless, but I've been speechless, man, and it's just it's a blessing, and it's a privilege to be able to be postured and positioned in a place to where you can do the things for the people.
Right, and you know, Kitch, you know, for people who don't know Kitchen's story, kind of tell them your story a little bit, you know, because this just didn't happen overnight. This was a long time coming, and, you know, you had some things to deal with, you know, in your younger youth years, know, and you're getting all that right now, you know. So tell people your story, if you would, that don't know, who've been under a rock, don't know who William Kitchen is.
Sir. So I'm from Muskegon Heights, born and raised. One side of the family, Kitchens, the other side, Hueys and Easters. When I was 14, man, I participated in a crime that got me sent to prison. I was sentenced to 11 years in prison. And then when I got inside of prison, I began to adopt all the wrong traits and characteristics. And I picked up a lot of bad habits. I became a product of that environment. They put me around, you know, people that were in there for some very horrific things and doing horrific things while they were in there. So I almost had to figure out a way to survive. And one of those methods was, man, I got involved with gangs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be quite honest with you, it wasn't necessarily just for protection like a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm.
But I was searching for that camaraderie. I was searching for to belong to a thing that was greater than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up the gangs. I became designated by the MDOC, Department of Corrections, when I was 18 as a gang leader. Officially designated under that status. And then they sent me into maximum security prison because of that. Ultimately, I spent 21 years total off of an 11-year sentence inside the Michigan Department of Corrections straight.
Mm.
16 of those 21 years, they kept me in maximum security because of my gang status. And for those who don't know what maximum security is, that's 23-hour lockdown. You only come out your cell for 1 hour a day.
Mm.
And I endured that for 16 of those 21 years. I came home in 2021, and everything about Muskegon was foreign to me. I felt like I was a foreign person in a foreign land.
Mm.
Nothing looked the same. People didn't look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever relationships that I had with people when I was a kid no longer existed.
Mm.
When you go to prison, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. So your best friends and the people that you hang with every day, willing to live and die for every day, forgets about you.
Mm.
So I come home and I'm somewhat lost because I don't understand the world that I live in. Mm. So I went through a lot of institutionalization problems. Like I couldn't adjust mentally to what society was in 2021 because I had been gone since 2000.
Mm.
I left the streets when I was 14 years old.
Mm.
I didn't come home till I was 35.
Mm.
So that gap where everything is really happening, like school and prime and marriage and babies and
mm-hmm.
your first car, your first house,
mm-hmm.
I was in level 5.
Mm.
I knew that that gave me caution. I had some handicaps at that time, at least what I felt were handicaps. But I came back to a city in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
You had kids killing kids.
Mm.
I didn't remember society being that way. We might fight,
mm-hmm.
but then the next day we playing basketball together.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand this new world where we had kids killing each other in broad daylight. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And so someone told me that you should become part of the solution instead of part of the problem.
Mm.
That you should help clean it, which you helped mess up.
Because you could have came home and gave a lot of YNs, as they call them nowadays, a whole lot of false narratives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, prison's fun. Oh, yeah, that's why I stayed 21 years. I was a man on the back 40. And
money.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. You could have been, it ain't that bad, you know. You could have been doing that, but you decided not to do that. I remember, I'm going to tell y'all a story. I remember the first time I found out about my brother here. And I told him what I did. You know, I go out and talk to kids in the casket, and I try to, you know, change the narrative. You know, I use my experiences. I'm truthful and honest with them, you know, and tell them the truth. I said, is that something you could do, brother? And he was like, of course, that's something I would love to do. I said, but bro, don't feed these kids that lie, you know, that this and that was just all glorified and stuff like that, because that's not what it is, you know. And they don't understand till they get there. Mm-hmm. You like a deer in headlights when you jump off that van or that bus and you going through quarantine and you don't understand what's getting ready to happen next. Ain't nobody telling you, you know, that's telling you the truth. You know what's going to happen next, you know. And you walk through them gates and that gate slam behind you, and you in a cell, you know, getting stripped down, having to squat, lift your junk and everything else,
man.
And bend over, spread cheeks, all that kind of mess, and you gotta do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, then you're gonna have a problem coming in.
Yep.
You know, so all this tough man stuff, you know, I always told my kids this, Kitch. Everybody want to be tough until it's time to be tough.
That's a fact.
You know, and being tough ain't necessarily, you know, how many bodies you got or heads you got or how many fights you done been in. That ain't necessarily being tough. When you sitting in that cell by yourself, and all you got
is you.
You got to deal with everything you ever did in your life, right or wrong. You have to deal with it. And the only person you can deal with it with at that time is you. I tell everybody that, all these kids that I mentor, all the things that I deal with, you know, and stuff. My children, told them the same thing. Everybody want to be tough until it's time to be tough. Pulling the trigger don't make you tough. You know, because when you get behind that wall,
you got to deal with them demons.
You got to deal with them demons.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to deal with what you decided to do. It was your decision to squeeze that trigger.
Yep.
You know, just like you can't blame anybody but yourself for your crime.
That's it.
You committed your crime. You did your time. You made a decision while you were in there to be in the game, go to solitude.
Yep.
Bruh.
Yep.
You know, those were your decisions. Now you come out.
Yeah.
You helped me with talking to some of these kids.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I'll never forget that. I appreciate that. But I also appreciate, you didn't lie to yourself, and you didn't lie to them. You know what I'm saying? Because those same kids, whether you realize it or not, they might not never say nothing to you. But they watching you.
And seeds get planted.
Yes. And then that way, as they grow older, as they start to reflect on their lives and stuff, and they can say, you know, well, I was headed down that path.
Remember when he said,
see what I'm saying?
You know, it was for me, I had choices when I first come, what routes I wanted to take. And to be honest with you, I really wasn't sure. I was at a disadvantage. But we connected, and I knew that I wanted to get in front of kids, but who gonna put me in front of kids? Like, man, you just been in prison for 21 years.
Yeah.
And while I was in prison, I caught over 300 misconducts.
Mm.
I've been to the hole over 30 times, literally.
Mm.
So I knew that people weren't just going to be readily to take a shot on me. And you literally was the first person who allowed me to tell my story to these kids over 4 years ago. And I always say this when I see you, told me to stay consistent.
And look at you now.
Don't compromise your freedom for nobody.
Look at you now.
Yeah.
Look at where you at now. Yeah, now, those kids and those kids' kids can tell a story about William Kitchen that don't have to necessarily deal with your prison past.
Sure.
It can deal with what your future holds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You on that city commission.
Yep.
You made some promises to everybody.
Yep.
They believed in you.
Yep.
They wanted to see you get a chance.
They spoke.
They gave you a chance.
Yep.
Look at how much you won by.
Yeah, man.
Look. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the numbers for real. Look at the numbers.
We got the numbers.
So you now have that monkey on your back, so to say. You have to watch every move you make. Not because you're trying to run from the police, but you're trying to let people know they can believe on you, believe in you.
I talk it how I walk it.
And take the chance with their vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's something more powerful than anything in the world. People believed in you to do the right thing. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They could have cast their vote for somebody else. But they believe all those votes you got, those people believed in you.
Yep.
And I believe, knowing you for this little short time of 4 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you say, I give you a chance. Gave you a chance. No, you took the chance. And I don't mean like he came up and said, oh, no. He took the chance by talking to these kids and stuff that I mentor. Every little boy I brought up to, it ain't been a time I ain't called them. I said, you know, sometimes the kids think because I'm old, you know, I don't remember the right things or under that. Well, this man just got out not too long ago. So let him talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Let him talk to you. He younger than me. You know what I'm saying? And I got to pass the torch. I can't hold on to this torch. So I pass it on to you. And you ran with it. I wasn't trying to run for no city council.
Yeah.
Look at you. What's next? Mayor? Senator? What's next? We got a felon in the White House. So they can't say you can't run for president because you're a felon.
He set the precedent.
He set the precedence for it. So they can't say that because you can always say he sat up there with 34.
34 of them.
34 of them. Only got two. So, so your first day in office, when is that?
So we will probably get to the swearing in sometime this month, possibly. Then I'll be sworn in the following Monday from that date. So we're hoping to get sworn in this month. It'll be probably early December at the latest, but we pushing for this month. And on first 100 days, it's gonna be a learning process.
Yeah, you have to learn.
Yeah.
It's one thing to run for that seat, mm-hmm. but now you got to learn
how that seat operates.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
you have to. Yeah. You got to get that education in.
It's important.
You know, it's very important. Mm-hmm. So after your 100 days is over with and you done learned what you got to learn, what can you say to those people that believed in you by casting mm-hmm. their vote for you? What can you say to those people now, today, after your win?
Y'all was right. It was worse than we thought up here. So, just to backtrack just a little bit, it's not just about the learning in those 100 days, but it's about developing the necessary relationships. Everything is buy-in with me. I want people to buy in to what I'm presenting to the table. And I want to see what they're presenting to the table so that we can figure out some common ground, some compromise. But it's about building relationships. that's one of the reasons why I didn't try to attack people. And I ran a clean campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I made my campaign about me and what I intend to do, not about what somebody else did or had done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The rearview mirror is only this small, but the front windshield is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get too caught up looking into the rearview mirror and that small little piece, and we miss this big window in the front that's for us. Mm-hmm. Right? So I wanted to continue to look into the front windshield instead of the rearview mirror. And ultimately, I got to work with these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to create a hostile work condition for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything crazy to them because I have to get their buy-in for your benefit. So I understood that I wanted to run a clean campaign, and I understood that I have a relationship with pretty much everybody on city council, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to upset the flow and ebbs of that because ultimately, I know you and mm-hmm. you know me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm a result of Muskegon Hikes,
mm-hmm.
and so if I want the best outcome to be for Muskegon Hikes, I got to ensure that the relationships that I develop here on council serves the interest of the people. And we can't do that if I'm coming in throwing mud, attacking people, disrespecting people. That's what I want to get away from. I want to bring a different level of professionalism and decorum. And so in those first 100 days, I just want to make sure that I'm making myself accessible to my colleagues, letting them know that it's about team building. This isn't an I thing, because I can't accomplish anything at all on city council by myself. And so it's about developing those relationships and getting that buy-in and setting our agendas forth. I have some agendas that I want to push in Muskegon Hikes, especially when it comes to our youth, since we was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's imperative that we give them a focus. We need to redevelop our initiatives that's catering to our young people. They're not just the future of Muskegon Hikes, but they're the backbone of Muskegon Hikes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't survive if we continue to allow our young people to go neglected and untreated.
Mm.
And so in those first 100 days, I want to make sure that I get the buy-in, I build my relationships, I learn as much as I can. But hey, here goes some proposals of some things that we should be looking at, and here's how we can do them. I talked about strategic solutions. So I'm not just trying to throw ideas in the air. No, let's collect the data. Let's put our greatest minds together. Let's bring together the community and get their buy-in, because these are the mothers who have to bury their sons.
Mm-hmm.
These are the mothers who have to watch their sons go off to prison. That feeling is something that we need in our decision-making. Martin Luther King said that people that are closest to the problem is closest to the solution.
Mm.
So we have to bring those that is a part of our community, a part of our decision-making process, so that we can really get to the heart of the problem and provide them the heart of the solutions.
Mm. That's what you want to say. Wow. That's a mouthful, and that was powerful. Kitch, congratulations once again. I know our time is ended right here. I hope this won't be the last time I'll be able to pick up the phone and call my brother and have my brother come and talk to some kids, you know.
Anytime.
I know your schedule going to be busy now. I can't bug you as much as I used to.
I'm coming running, man. We asked the people to speak boldly through the vote, and they did. We took every precinct in Muskegon Hikes. Mm-hmm. We swept it, right? And so you put your confidence and your faith in me that I would do what I said that I would do. I'm an honorable person.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I told my people that I'm going to go in there and do, fight for them, stand for them, advocate for them, that's what I'm going to do on day one until I leave.
All right. You heard it directly from the newly elected city commissioner of Muskegon Heights, William Kitchen. Thank you, brother, for coming by. Thank you for giving us a few minutes, and good luck on your new journey, brother.
We'll keep you guys posted.
All right. We're going to get back to more music with Friday, One Call Away featuring Chris Brown on 103.7 The Beat.